Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. The phone number and text number are the same, so if you want to communicate with us, you got to call 312-981-7200, or you can check us out on facebook.com/NickDShow. My guest tonight, and I'm really excited about this, is the author of four horror novels, three of which are about zombies. The latest is called Zombie Indiana. And let me welcome to the studio Scott Kenmore. Scott, how are you, sir?
I'm really good. Thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming in. So you're a zombie fan.
Yes.
We're going to get along famously.
It all starts there.
Yeah, we're going to get along. Trust me, we're going to get along famously. Well, first of all, when did you start writing?
Since I was a little kid, I liked writing stories and stuff, and I've always liked horror and scary stories. And back when I was in college, I think I really got into zombies. I had friends introduce me to like George Romero films and movies like Dan O'Bannon's Return of the Living Dead, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And like, you know, now zombies are everywhere. They're all over cable. People teach college classes on zombies. Back in the dark days of the late 1990s, when I was in school, we didn't really have this.
Yeah.
So I had to sort of find my own way.
Well, So let's go back to you said that you always liked horror movies. When did that happen? When you were a little kid? Is when you started getting into horror? Is there a distinctive moment that you can remember?
I would say the distinctive moment for me is being about 10 or 11 years old and riding my bicycle to the Carmel Clay Public Library in Indiana and checking out a book by this guy, H.P. Lovecraft, I'd heard about. Didn't really know what was up with him. And reading, I read the first two stories in the book. It was In the Vaults and Pickman's Model. And then putting down the book and thinking, this might be the best thing anyone has ever done ever. And I know I'm a dumb little kid. I don't know anything. But this feels like the best thing anyone ever did ever. And as an adult, largely, I've continued to feel that way.
Yeah, you know what? It was Poe for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was Poe. That was my introduction to horror, was Poe.
Yeah.
And as a little kid, because I'm much older than you, as a little kid, I would watch Creature Features every Saturday night here in Chicago, and they would show the old, as far back as I was like 4 years old, I could remember watching the old Universal movies, and that was my introduction to horror, and you know, The Mummy and Dracula, Frankenstein,
all those
movies.
Yeah, I used to watch those with my dad.
And oh, those are so awesome, and so that was, I became obsessed with that and horror movies, and I had a subscription to Famous Monsters and Filmland and all that stuff, and then the sort of life-changing thing was when I got introduced to the Hammer movies. That was it.
Because Christopher Lee.
Peter Cushing was my god.
Yeah.
Peter Cushing was my hero. But the thing about it was they had the same characters. You know, they were doing Draculas, they were doing mummies, but everything was different. Like, it was in color, and there was blood, and there was boobs. And I remember just going, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. So that was my interest. And I've been on the horror kick ever since. It's my favorite genre. In a couple of weeks, there's a flashback horror convention here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a host of that for about 11 years. And we've got Robert Englund coming in.
Oh, yeah.
The entire cast and director of Phantasm, Lance Hendrickson. Just a huge lineup, and last year Romero was there, and I got did the panel with Romero.
The convention circuit is crazy.
Yeah,
just like blowing up. Like everything is a Comic Con now.
The lineup, the lineup for Flashback this year is pretty insane. I mean, it's like cool guest after cool guest after cool guest, and it's August 8th through the 10th.
Marvelous.
Yeah, so that's cool. All right, so you started writing when you were in college, did you always want to specifically write horror?
Yeah, I sort of fumbled my way around and tried different, you know, things that I felt scary, or I think like as you do maybe in your early 20s, and you sort of wonder what will work and you try different approaches.
Yeah.
But it was actually a close friend of mine who worked in publishing said, you know, Scott, you're sort of a struggling writer trying to make it, and you talk all the time about how you love zombie movies, you love zombies. Why don't you try writing about zombies? And so back in around 2006, 2007, I sort of began to do this.
Now, when you started writing, because your first book was published in you started writing zombie themed stuff like as early as 2007.
Right.
Okay. So when the zombie genre blew up, were you like, oh man, you know what I mean? There's going to be too much of it, and my stuff is going to get lost. Were you concerned
about
that?
Too much, no, man.
Well, I agree, but a lot of people are like, I've had it with zombies. I'm done. I'm not. I could watch zombie movies 24 hours a day and read zombie stuff all the time. But were you concerned at all about the just how zombies were everywhere?
Not really. I mean, I continue to be able to see new places they can go and new stuff they can do. And the only thing that upsets me is some people want to be zombie police or zombie purists. And they say, I know all the rules and they can only do this and they can never do that. And
right.
here's a book I wrote with all the rules in it so people know. And I think, like, for me, I like it when people try things, even if they don't work. But, you know, because that's the only way we get new stuff that is awesome. Like, before 1985, Dan O'Bannon makes Return of the Living Dead. No one knew a zombie could say brain
yeah.
specifically.
Yeah.
He tries that. Everyone goes like, holy cow, that's marvelous. That's yeah. the thing. That, but other people try other stuff.
Bring more cops.
Right, right. Exactly. Send more cops.
Send more cops.
It doesn't always work, but when it does work, it's great.
I will say this. The only time I get snooty, I happen to really dislike fast zombies. I'm not a fan of fast zombies. So that's the only time I ever get all zombie, you know, pretentious.
You know, Simon Pegg has this wonderful quote. He gave an interview with a British newspaper called The Guardian where he said, being dead shouldn't be a superpower.
Yeah.
And I always think of that.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I talked to Romero about this whenever I've interviewed Romero. Yeah, Romero, obviously. I mean, the guy virtually invented the genre. You know what I mean? Or at least the modern version of it. I mean, there were the Haitian zombie films from the 30s and 40s.
Everything
changes. Boom, everything changed with Romero.
Yep.
And if Romero said zombies should be slow, then zombies should be slow. Now, not to say that I didn't enjoy 28 Days Later, because I did, but technically, they're not zombies. They're infected. They didn't die and come back to life. I got into an argument with my friend Mike, who just very stubborn, doesn't like horror movies very much and zombie movies and stuff.
All right.
And so I got into an argument. He's like, oh, it's 28 Days Later. I like the fast zombies. And it's like, that's the best zombie movie ever made. And I'm like, well, okay, you're wrong, but technically, they're not zombies. He's like, yes, they are. And I'm like, no, in order to be a zombie, you have to die and then come back to life. He's like, it's the same thing. No, it's not. They're infected with a rage virus. It's not the same thing. He's like, oh, that's stupid.
Yeah.
But
I'll name drop right here. But I was on a panel with Max Brooks, who did World War Z, great zombie writer. And he said something that I thought was especially like trenchant along these lines, which was that he likes it when zombies are slow, because the thing that's going to get you or undo you is your own failings as a person, your own sins, your bad judgment, your greed, your lust, your whatever it is going to make you make bad decisions, so that this thing, which should be like so easily navigable, that you know is slow, is stupid, can't read, can't cooperate. You know, you should be able to get away from these zombies, but you're going to make such poor choices that this thing is still going to get you.
That's true.
And
that's a great point. That's a great
point.
And morally, it's much more interesting.
Sure.
And on top of that, there's just so damn many of them. That's the other thing. It's like they could be slow and rickety, but usually they're in a mass.
Yeah.
And you've got no choice. All right. Hang on a second. Scott Kenmore is with us. We're going to talk about his book, and we're going to talk zombies, too. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Yeah. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio, and I'm your overnight dude, along with my great producer Dan Shagroon and Ted Novak in Traffic Central. We'll keep you company till 5. We're going to be doing a round of I Just Don't Get It coming up after 3 o'clock. We're going to talk about extreme junk food and other fun things. But right now we're talking zombies, which is one of my favorite topics. And if you want to join us via text or call, it's 312-981-7200. You can also check us out on Facebook. Scott Kenmore is with me, and he is the author of several books, the latest of which is Zombie Indiana. And we're talking zombies. And I want to talk about your books in a few minutes, but let's talk zombie movies.
Yes.
Okay. What is your favorite zombie movie of all time?
You know, I got to say, Dan O'Bannon's Return of the Living Dead. I like it a lot because it's funny, it expands what zombies can do, and it has this sort of like rollicking sense of fun to the like horrible carnage that is also happening. So for me, it's like best of both worlds. But I meet a lot of people who really hate it and go like only, you know, back to the sort of the strictly Romero stuff. But you know, I love like I would say like Day of the Dead is the movie that really
wildly underrated movie.
Yeah, I think like Ken Faried is a great actor in that. Some really cool stuff happens. I even like some of Romero's new stuff that he's doing now
doesn't
get as much attention.
Let me tell you something. My favorite zombie movie of all time is the original Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah,
it's a masterpiece, and I could watch it daily if need be. But I honest to God, Scott, I thought Diary of the Dead was the best movie that Romero has made in maybe since Dawn, and I'm not kidding. I thought it was a In fact, I'm quoted on the front of the video box.
Well, that'll do it right there. Yeah. I like Diary and Survival. I think they're both.
Yeah,
good.
I do. I like Survival as well. I like Survival because it was like Romero wanted to make like Ryan's Daughter or something. He wanted to do like a like a Western or something, and so
he's earned the right.
He can do whatever the hell he wants. He's George Romero.
At this point, yeah.
But Diary, I think, is a really amazing movie, and he was, you know. If you watch that movie now, it came out in the beginning of 2008. If you watch that movie now, it was prophetic, as a lot of his stuff is, because of social media. Like, he got that immediately. Like, it's in the movie, it's MySpace.
Yep.
So, but what that movie is saying and how he put it together, it's, I think, one of the best found footage movies ever made.
Yep.
And there's quality kills in it. The Amish guy is fantastic.
Everybody likes him.
Yeah. And so, Jeb. And I really thought the message was great, and it has a really powerful final shot.
Yeah, those two guys who get back up and are pointed back at each other again. And
That's Survival.
That's Survival.
Yeah, yeah. No.
What's the final shot?
Diary, the final shot is they tie a girl zombie up to a tree, and then they blow her.
That's right. That's right.
And there's a great voiceover about, should we be saved? And, like, she's only got half a skull, and a red tear comes down.
That's
one of the greatest final shots ever. So, now, how do you feel about, now, I got to tell you, man, there was just, I can't tell you the unmitigated joy I felt the first time I saw Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
No, it's a fine film. Yeah. Simon Pegg is great. And I think he got so many people interested in the genre again, and he pays homage in that film to so many of the right guys and gals, the right people.
A lot of inside jokes, you know, I mean, if you look at it, like, you know, the name of the restaurant they go to is Fulci's.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And you know, I can't remember what there's like a ton.
I mean,
of
he works for 4E Electronics,
that's right,
and like a million little things.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So,
You know, I also like older classic zombie films are like you have the sort of Romero Brain Eater Reanimated Corpse, but also like Voodoo Zombies.
Those are great.
Some pretty cool films.
Yeah.
Like,
I Walked with a Zombie is classic.
Yeah, and like a Serpent in the Rainbow from the 1980s.
Oh man.
I watched that as a kid on HBO when I was like 11. It was like that.
There's
really
a scene.
Me up.
There's a scene in Serpent in the Rainbow, which is a movie that I love. Mm-hmm. That I'm kind of claustrophobic. And there's a scene
where they
bury Bill Pullman alive, and the zombie dust wears off.
Yeah,
and he's and it's the screen is completely black. And I remember sitting in the theater just hyperventilating, like, I can't even watch this, but it's such a kick-ass movie.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, it really is. So now you started writing about zombie stuff. Did you originally go, well, I'm going to write traditional stuff like the Romero stuff, or was your goal to change it up?
You know, I never set out really to change it up, but I guess if I set out to do anything I sort of like the idea of zombies as a disaster story and a stress test on a community. So with my sort of state zombie novels I've done, each one of them has been my attempt to look at the strengths and weaknesses of communities where I've actually lived. So places like rural Ohio and Chicago and Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like some monsters in the Pantheon are very, very personal. Like, you know, Dracula invites you personally to his castle in an invitation written on vellum and will, you know, have wine and bisexuality and this wonderful, exciting. But when zombies attack, it's not personal. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And everyone is going to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I like looking at different communities and how they would do well or not do well based on, you know, the things about them that make them ready for zombies.
How do you feel about Walking Dead?
I think it's a great show. I like the Robert Kirkman comic book a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just the comic book is often sort of funny and over the top in ways that remind me of like old horror comics, like Crypt Keeper stuff.
Sure.
That doesn't always come through on the show. It's a little bit campy, and like I love like Battle Pope, the comic he did before Walking Dead. But I mean, it's an incredible show. I do a lot of, when I can, like horror conventions, sci-fi conventions, and they're starting to be like just Walking Dead conventions.
Yeah.
Just the one show can bring out thousands of people.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenon.
I gotta say the last couple of seasons have kind of lost me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the show's quality has gone down. I thought the first two seasons were spectacular, and you know, I was so excited to just that there was going to be a zombie TV show.
Sure.
I was just so excited when it first debuted, and I wasn't disappointed. But lately, you know, the last couple of seasons, I watch it, but I just don't think it's as good as it once was.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know how much that has to do with Darabont getting canned, but he got canned after the first season, and the second season kicked ass, so I really don't think that that mattered. But yeah, I mean, you know, And now there's so much horror stuff now that's coming on television, like television shows. Like, have you watched Hannibal?
No, I've not watched Hannibal, I got to confess.
You have to. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
All my Facebook friends post about it.
It's great.
It's on my list.
And now, just this past Sunday, FX premiered The Strain. Do you know about The Strain?
I haven't seen it.
Guillermo del Toro. Mm-hmm. It's based on his books. And it's quality, man. It's really good.
I got to catch up on my cable.
The season premiere was an hour and 40 minutes long, so it was just like a movie. And it was great. And the stuff that they got away with
on FX.
Is it
zombies?
It's kind of hard to describe. It's sort of like alien vampires and they're zombies as well. They introduce about an hour into the episode, all of a sudden zombies show up. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. I'm good with this. But The Strain is great. If you're a horror fan, if you're listening, really seriously, the first episode really kicked ass. It was great. All right, so let's talk about the trilogy.
Sure.
How did that start? Let's talk about Zombie, Ohio first.
Zombie, Ohio. So I went to a little college in Ohio called Kenyon, a little college town, and I was interested in the little ecosystem that it maintains, sort of not really close to a city, have like local relationships with Amish. We know some of the local farmers, but they hate us and think we're like wife-swapping Satanists and liberals. And they have these stereotypes. How would we get along if there was a big, huge disaster?
That's cool.
Like a zombie outbreak. And I also tried to explore, because I think essentially there are two zombie stories, if you bifurcate it one way, which is urban versus rural. And I think urban zombie stories, it plays out very, very fast, because like everyone is packed together. And the zombies are all packed together, and this is going to resolve itself. It's going to resolve itself quickly. So you're talking about The Walking Dead. I'm thinking like, when they in starting in a rural setting, they're like, encounter Atlanta for the first time, and it's just like streets full of corpses, because that all happened very, very, very quickly.
Right.
So Zombie Ohio, my first book, takes place over probably I think about 6 months, with sort of like how things would gradually shake out in Knox County, Ohio. But my next book, which is set in Chicago, Zombie, Illinois, takes place in 24 hours, because I think things would shake out super fast.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah. And what part of Chicago does Zombie, Illinois take place?
So lots of different neighborhoods, but one of the main characters is a pastor on the south side of Chicago. I used to work in community development down at like 71st and Jeffrey in South Shore, that
sure.
neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting to think about like how that community had a strong, a faith-based sense and community connections. And one of the things I think would happen, and this is all in all of my books, is that if zombies really came out of the ground, people would go to church, because they would be really scared.
Suddenly
about,
they'd find
what
God.
What does
yeah.
this mean? Yeah. So a lot of Zombie Indiana takes, or Zombie Illinois rather, takes place on the south side of Chicago. And one of the main characters is a pastor who's thinking like, what do I tell people in this situation? How do I keep people safe? What am I supposed to do? And of course, you can also look at just about every major faith tradition has lines in their holy book about like dead coming back up.
Yeah.
You know, I think there are four different versions in the Bible, and one of them, I forget which of the Gospels, but it's the one you hear at like every funeral, which sounds a lot like, you know, our souls will get up and go to be with God in heaven, and that's what this means. But there are like other versions that they don't read of that, which it sounds a lot like your body will get back up and you'll be fine again.
Yeah.
It's like, really? It's like, I think we would look at those other versions really closely if zombies came out of the ground.
Yeah, you know, I have friends who refer to Jesus as a zombie.
Sure, that's a big zombie Jesus.
Zombie Jesus,
I think
yeah.
I follow him on Twitter, maybe.
Let's take a quick break, all right? We'll come back. We'll talk about the latest book and more. Scott Kennamore is with us. We have a link to his Facebook page. And we have a link to his website on our Facebook page, so you can get the books and all that cool stuff. And that's facebook.com/Nick D Show. We're coming back after this. Oh, yeah. Hey, Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m., and then I get to stick around for the first hour of the Steve Cochran Show. So my work day ends at 6. It's hump day, and if you want to call us or text us, it's the same number now, 312-981-7200. Check us out at facebook.com/Nick D Show. My guest is Scott Kennamore, who is the author of a trilogy of zombie books, Zombie Ohio, Zombie Illinois, and the latest is Zombie Indiana. You told us about Ohio and Illinois.
I did.
Tell us about Indiana. Tell everybody about what the latest book is about.
Sure. Well, you know, I grew up in Indiana, and I like to write about states in the Midwest, because I feel like I can notice subtle differences in temperament that people from, like, New York and Los Angeles, they say, oh, you know, it's all the same, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa. Those are all, but I feel like having lived in different states in the Midwest, I can notice sort of small differences I like to explore. But the real genesis for Zombie Indiana was something that I think a lot of people in Chicago can relate to, which is seeing those billboards for Indiana, where they're trying to poach Chicago companies that, you know, you're driving to work and it says like, Illinois by high taxes, moved to Indiana. There's one right now in the Eisenhower that says, still annoyed, like you still haven't moved to Indiana. But I got interested in thinking, how did this state that I grew up in and have fond feelings for become basically a poacher? Basically like, we've initiated a race to the bottom. We've gotten rid of all our environmental laws. We've gotten rid of right to work. We've done all this stuff to become the most business friendly state. And I began to think, well, how would this impact their ability to respond to a national disaster like a zombie outbreak?
Yeah.
What was interesting to me as a writer was showing how the highest echelons of government would function, because I think something you see a lot in zombie movies is there will briefly be encounters with sort of like a headquarters or the army or the military or the government is like sort of trying to hold out, and a main character might like encounter that for a few moments and then he or she is gone. Like you see that in like the World War Z film with Brad Pitt, for example. So I thought, what if we just stayed there and saw what it was like for someone to try to govern and keep like you know jury trials going and police going to work and try to keep that going while there's this horrible disaster that is everywhere. So my books tend to have three main characters, and one of the three characters in Zombie Indiana is just the governor of Indiana, who has created over the last 8 years all this legislation to allow him to steal companies from other states, to say, we have absolutely no environmental laws. We have, you can fire and hire workers at will. They have absolutely no rights. Come here. And then for him to now have to deal with like a situation where he needs some government and just doesn't have it anymore.
Wow. That's great, man. That's a great concept. That's cool. Well, what's your writing process like? Do you try to write every day? What's the process?
I think everybody's different. Some mornings I'll wake up inspired like anybody, but I tell you, selling a book before you've written it, getting an advance, and thinking about how you have to pay the money back if you don't turn in the book is a really good. So that will lead you to do things.
That's a good motivator right there.
Yeah. So that leads me to do things like, the book needs to be this many thousands of words, and if I divide the number of days I have left before it's due, then I'm not allowed to go to bed at night until I've written this many hundred or thousands of words.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting
it's
perspective.
Just what works for me.
Yeah. All this stuff, by the way, all these books are available on his website at scottkenamore.com, but we have a link, so it's easy for you, facebook.com/NickDShow. The link is there. All right, now The Grand Hotel is the latest book, and it's coming out in late 2014.
This is the first anybody's heard or talked about The Grand Hotel.
Oh, all right. So, cool. I'm very excited.
You're breaking new news here.
Very excited. Okay, The Grand Hotel. Are there zombies in this?
There are some zombies, but it's a horror story about a haunted hotel, and a group of visitors come to this hotel, and this sort of mysterious night clerk takes them on a tour, and they get introduced to different members. Not maybe, I guess residents, let's say, of the hotel, who each have a horror story, a scary story to tell, and each story is sort of a riddle, and the tour group has to kind of solve the riddle to keep moving forward.
Oh, that's cool.
And then some of them get killed. Some of them, sometimes things just kill them too. So I was telling a writer friend about this the other day. I was turning in the final draft, and he said, "Oh, so you just wrote." You just rewrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, except the Chocolate Factory kills them. And I was like, kind of. That's kind of what the book
cool.
is.
Now, the stories that are told, is it sort of an anthology thing? Were you kind of shooting for that kind of thing?
I went through this weird process for this. Like, I love horror stories and short stories.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about, Lovecraft.
You're talking about Lovecraft
before.
Yeah.
But so I went through this sort of research phase where I read something like 300 horror stories.
Wow.
And these big anthologies that you could find at used bookstores all over the city. And I just sort of began to think about like what are my favorites and why, and what would I like to see these stories do that they haven't done?
Yeah.
What could I do that's new with them and connect them all together? So
that's cool.
That's what The Grand Hotel
is. That's cool.
Is.
All right, The Grand Hotel, do you have a date?
October 6th.
October 6th. So okay, October 6th.
We're getting some great quotes. I'm very excited. A lot of writers I respect. Laird Barron is a great upcoming horror writer. He gave me a tremendous blurb. John Horner Jacobs, who wrote, he's written a great zombie novel called This Dark Earth, and he wrote a book called Southern Gods, which is nominated for the Bram Stoker Award.
Yeah.
Amazingly scary books. They've liked it. So.
Oh, that's great, man. Okay, so the Grand Hotel is coming out in October, but you can get Zombie Indiana right now.
Yep.
It's available, and the other two zombie books are available as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scottkenemore.com, and that's K-E-N-E-M-O-R-E, but it's easier if you just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. The link is there. Scott, man, really a lot of fun having you on the show.
Totally.
Yeah, and are you working on anything now? Are you just waiting for the Grand Hotel to come out?
I'm just resting my brain. It's been a very busy like 2 years.
And you're going to San Diego for the Comic-Con.
Yeah, Comic-Con. I'm on a panel about zombies with Max Brooks and Steven Schlossman, a great zombie writer, and Aaron Sagers, a CNN reporter who covers horror and zombies, and Matt Moak, who you may know from the Talking Dead show that comes on after The Walking Dead.
Yep.
And so we're going to have a fun time and then have cocktails.
Cool. Sounds good. All right, Scott, thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We got the news on 720 WGN.